under attack. Time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see. Don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my power, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land. From sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome on to Hump Day Wednesday, March 6, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. Text line is open, 231-360-5140. If you want to get a comment into the show, we greatly appreciate that. Please be relevant on topic to the conversation. Got a great show lined up for you today. Lots of information coming out of Lansing. Lots of stories that I was watching last night. Of course, the big national story, Donald Trump running the table on Nikki Haley for the presidential Republican nomination. She won the state of Vermont. She won Vermont. And you know how she did it? She had Democrats cross over and vote for her. You see, the Democrats don't want Donald Trump to be the nominee. Why? Because he's leading in all the polls. It's official. And if the corporate fake BS news media polls are showing Donald Trump up, he's really up. This is not even going to be close. This is going to be Ronald Reagan-esque 1980-1984 Electoral College tidal wave. 49 out of 50 states, all the territories. But what they did is they have same-day registration, open registration, and you can pick either party's ballot that you want to vote in a primary there in Vermont. Very similar to us here in Michigan now. And when you're given a partisan ballot, it does not register you as being with that party, just like here in Michigan. Now, the poll book will mark down that you are given a Democrat ballot, but it does not, quote, register you as a Republican. Now, there was some lady was bantering with me on Twitter, X account, last night when I shared a post about Donald Trump running the tables on Super Tuesday. And she said, yes, but all the polling, exit polling, showed that 30% of the people that voted for Nikki Haley would not vote for Donald Trump in November. And I said, yes, exactly. That's because they're Democrats and are going to be voting for Biden anyway. Oh, that's not true. They're disenfranchised Republicans and they hate Trump. Sorry, sweetie. You're not selling me that, dog. I ain't buying it. flat out, they were Democrats. Well, it was kind of interesting. She did not have a speech prepared anywhere last night out of the 16 states for Super Tuesday. And if you go to her campaign website, all of her events have been scrapped. And we're not really sure when she plans to drop out of the race. But it's coming. Because a week from yesterday, this coming Tuesday, the 12th, and I believe the following Tuesday as well, the 19th, Donald Trump will have earned enough delegates to be the nominee. Turn out the lights. The party's over. Bye-bye, Nikki. If you have any questions for Dr. Jeff coming in the house here shortly, ask the vet. We'll be right back.
Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op has been committed to bringing a brighter future to members for more than 85 years. That's why we're hard at work to create a future-focused fiber broadband network that will connect rural Michigan to the world. PIE&G Connect will offer the fastest speeds and most reliable internet available in Northeast Michigan. The future is fiber, powered by Presqu'ile Electric and Gas Co-op. Sign up today at PIEGConnect.com.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Are you tired of governments invading your online privacy? Introducing Legendary VPN Services. With our VPN, you can browse the internet with confidence, knowing your personal information is shielded from prying eyes. Say goodbye to hackers and corporate thieves. Our cutting-edge encryption ensures your browsing history remains confidential, even on public Wi-Fi. Protect your privacy today with our reliable and lightning-fast Legendary VPN service. Visit legendarysystems.net or call 231-818-8349. Your privacy is our priority.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second segment of hour number one on this Wednesday. As usual, joining us in this segment, Ask the Vet, Dr. Jeff is in the house. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff, I got a question on deer.
Okay.
This has happened to me probably, I'm going to say, four times in the last week. In the evening hours, it's been warm out. The deer are moving around looking for food. And I've seen on the side of the road getting ready to jump out in front of my vehicle, 3, 4, 5 deer grouped together. And every single one, I don't care what county I was in, this happened mostly in Antrim, Charlevoix and Emmett as I go up and down 31 back and forth talking to businesses about the radio station. And these deer are almost black. I mean, yes. It is dark, dark, dark.
Yep.
What the heck is going on with that coat?
Well, it's their winter coat. If you see them during the summer, they'll actually shed into their summer coat, which is more of the kind of tanner brown colors. And then as we get into the fall, they will then, you know, shed their summer coat, and then their winter coat will grow in. It's coarser, it's heavier, it's darker, because it's more gray, more dark, because and with the blacks, because now you're going into winter where the leaves are coming down, things aren't as green and growing. And if they kept that red summer coat, they would just stand out like a sore thumb, and the wolves would be even easier to pick them off. So what they do, it's a kind of camouflage that nature gives them to going into the winter, that now we're going to kind of like the snowshoe hare, the variant hare, where they're brown in the summer and then they turn, you know, white in the winter.
Right, right, right.
Yep.
Because one of the things that I noticed, though, is these, well, the ones in Antrim County especially, they were coming out of a somewhat of a swampy wetland area.
Mm-hmm.
Does that also play a factor into it if they live predominantly around a swampy, marshy wetland versus, you know, the farmers' cornfields, et cetera, the apple orchards and places like that?
Well, you might get a variation from – it's not going to be affected by the environment, but in as much as the same deer or the, you know, does tend to be in that area, you know, and stay in that home area, and you might have variations from area to area slightly. But it's not that the swamp isn't causing it or something like that.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay, very good. Now, I got a text message. They've been noticing more and more deer. One of the things they said, it was actually up near Mackinac City. This guy's reporting in between Sheboygan and Mackinac City. And he said, is the herd growing in northern Michigan, if Jeff knows? Because the UP, basically, nobody's seeing deer up in the UP. I don't know what's going on. What's going on in the UP compared to below the bridge?
Well, we don't have the deer densities that they do down below the bridge. Up here, you probably have 3 or 4 deer per square mile, whereas where my buddy, where I hunt on his farm down by Ionia, you know, you're talking 30, 40 deer per square mile. So, I mean, you just have that, you know, number one.
Okay.
And the deer in the UP and downstate, it tends to be a lot more distributed, okay, because there's a lot more farmland, there's a lot more, you know, crop and agriculture here.
Right.
The deer seem to be concentrated, and that's one thing I've learned after being up here. The deer tend to be concentrated in the ag areas, so like Chippewa County and that. Yeah, we see deer. I mean, we saw deer last year during hunting season too. You know, and then with this really easy winter, you're going to have less wolf predation, because the deer, we didn't have that really, really deep snow for a long time.
Right.
And what happens with the wolves with the big feet, they can float. It's like snowshoes. They can float on the snow, but the deer punch through, and that's how they wind up catching them.
Ah,
so,
gotcha.
So not having the snow, that helped it. Then also you don't have they didn't have the energy burn because it didn't get as cold. So not as many lost to starvation, and they didn't have to dig through the deep snow, so they can get down to, you know, the roots and the leaves and browse and everything that they're eating. So I think this year, you know, the deer numbers are going to be up. Side point of that also means when your prey numbers go up, your predator numbers go up, and that means that we're probably going to start seeing more wolf issues.
Right. So. Now, I've had quite a few people tell me, I was speaking with Devin Lawrence there at Houghton Lake on Saturday. He's from Alger,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Picture Rocks, Munising,
yep.
That kind of area. And he said they are having severe issues, especially in Marquette, because these people, and he said, I can't believe this, they're actually putting up feeding stations for wolves.
Really?
And I said,
I wonder what that even looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I said, you got to be kidding, right? And he goes, no. He goes, these idiots are feeding the wolves and almost inviting them into downtown Marquette. And I said, so what's happening with the deer population? He goes, the deer are gone. There's no more deer in Marquette County at all.
Yep, they move right out.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? So how much does our human actions in feeding animals, especially wolves and other predators, how much does that impact their migration and where they actually choose to live and what they choose to do? And then how much does that impact then, like you say, the deer population and others?
Yeah. Well, to go back to the wolf, how much that activity is going to affect the wolf. I bet most of the people listening to this radio station or listening to the show right now have direct evidence of exactly what will happen when they do that. Look at your dog. That is exactly how dogs got domesticated.
Interesting. That is
exactly. So you go back in time. Okay, dogs developed, you know, or evolved or, you know, devolved from wolves. So, but caveman did not crawl into a wolf den, grab a wolf puppy out, go, you know, I'm going to make you a dog. You know, the thing, it'd eat his face off.
Sure.
So what happens is animals are born with different levels of cortisol in their system, different levels of stress hormone. Okay. Animals with lots of cortisol are very nervous, very stressful, very flighty. Animals with low levels of cortisol, very calm, you know, not as scary or, you know, not as flighty. So. Sure. Once humans started living in villages and started doing a little bit of settling down, what we would do is we would do exactly what these people are doing, which is we would go to the edge of – take our garbage, go to the edge of the village, throw the garbage out. Well, the wolves figured out, okay, well, this is a good place to get something to eat. They'd hang around. So when, you know, when the caveman or whatever came to the edge to the garbage pile to throw the bones out – or whatever the leftovers, the wolves would run away. All right. But the wolf with high cortisol level would run like 500 yards away. Okay. The wolf with a lower cortisol level might run only 50 yards away. So throws the food down. Which wolf's going to get that food first?
Sure. The closer one.
The closer one with the lower cortisol level, that wolf is going to eat better, is going to have more little wolf babies who genetically, like the parents, are going to have low cortisol levels, okay? Lather, rinse, and repeat for 25,000 years, and then look at your dog.
That is
exactly what is happening. And they're going to have fun with this until now these wolves start taking their dogs and their cats and their kids. And because it will. I actually just last weekend I was at the Michigan Bear Hunters Conference giving a talk there about veterinary medicine and then talking with these guys. These wolves are bad, are bad news. One guy said he had to climb a tree because his two wolves wouldn't leave him alone. Climb a tree. Yeah. Yep. Had to climb a tree and wait for him to wander off finally so he could come down. And
obviously he didn't have a firearm with him.
Yeah, that's what he said. He was like, you know, so.
Last time he ever goes for a walk in the woods without having a gun, I can guarantee you that.
I tell you what, I trail ride my horse. I carry my .45.
Yep, absolutely. So. And I my brother-in-law, he always, when he rides his horse, has a holster there for his little short barrel .30-30.
Yep.
It's a Model 94, and I actually have one, too. What is that, 18, 19-inch barrel? Yeah. And he said, I do not go anywhere without that 30-30.
No, because you don't know.
Because you never know what you're going to run into. And and how do horses react to a wolf when you're riding it?
Oh, yeah, they don't like it. Fortunately, I have never run across a wolf. I've run across bears, and horses are prey animals. And, yeah, they want to get out of there. One time I was riding my old horse Taxi, and I heard it. And I think he smelled it, and he froze. And this goes back to the old saying, you probably heard me say this before, never trust a horse that's trained by fear, okay? Like in the old days, we used to buck horses out, you know, be really rough on training them.
Sure.
You know, that's what they call them, breaking horses. But if you have a horse that is trained by fear, there's always going to be something that he fears more than you. Something will happen, and if like a wolf comes out or something, and that horse is trained through, he's going to be gone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But if you earn the trust, if a horse trusts you, he will ask you to do what to do when he is afraid. And Taxi.
Okay, Dad, what do I do? What do I do?
And that's what he was doing. And I could feel him winding up.
Yep.
And he's like, do we need to leave? I can get you out of here. We can leave. We can leave right now. You know, I'm like, no, it's good. It's leaving. Let's go back, you know. And but I could just feel him tensing up. It wasn't like he was going to buck me off or anything. He's like, I can get us out of here real fast.
Right. I love it. I love it. Yeah. Well, we are definitely going to have a problem. And what do you think with the Bear Hunters Association and other groups? Do you think there's going to be a push for them to put a call on into Lansing to allow the DNR to change some rules regarding wolf hunting?
Well, the problem is it was ripped away from the DNR. Trump delisted them because we know in Michigan they've recovered well. Okay, they are no longer endangered at
right.
all.
Right,
they have recovered well, and the. So Trump delisted them, basically said, returned the control back to the states, okay?
Right.
Which is where it should reside, okay? The wolf management program in Illinois is going to look a lot different than the wolf management program in Wyoming, okay?
Sure.
Same thing. Well, then a bunch of people got together, went to some judge in California who's probably never seen a wolf outside of a Disney movie.
Yep.
Put him back on the list. So now the DNR, even up here, you talk to the guys, they're like, yeah, we can't do anything. It's federal. So and I do know Whitmer has been on record as saying that as long as she's governor, there never will be a wolf season. So
because I thought it was state controlled and that they could it's back at the federal level.
Back at the federal level. So you've got to wrest it away. At least unless something's changed. That's the last time I knew that's where it was at. So, yeah, hopefully with this, with Trump's complete domination of Super Tuesday, hopefully we get some stuff changed here come next November.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we've got some new reps coming.
Yep.
And I know that Todd Smallenberg is talking to Cliff Tellini about all the things happening with the testing and also with the ramifications of wolves. You know, in slaughtering his cows. And so I'm sure there's going to be some discussions on this because the UP, from what I'm being told, I got it from actually a couple different people, is that the herd up there is just overtaking certain communities and it's getting completely out of hand. I told one guy, I said, you know, the simplest thing to do would just be to capture a male and a female wolf and take them down to Lansing and set them free in downtown Lansing.
That would certainly solve the problem.
I think it would get their attention. That's
Yeah. So, I mean, we had a wolf pack, not just a single wolf. We had a wolf pack on 3 Mile here in Sault Ste. Marie, which is city.
Sure.
So, yeah, they're opportunistic. They're highly intelligent and they're lazy. If you're going to feed them, that is the worst thing you can do. I mean, I'm going to write out, and I'm hopefully people Marquette are listening to this and, if I was a city, I would ban the feeding of wolves.
You think?
Know? Yeah. That's just not
common sense.
Idea. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Hey, I'm going to give out the phone number for Dr. Jeff in the Sioux Animal Hospital. Please store it in your phone. 906 area code there in Sault Ste. Marie, 635-5910, 635-5910. Store it in your phone, especially on weekends. You'll be prepared to leave a message. I'll get back to you Monday morning. Jeff, we appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, talk to you next week.
Time of the hour news.